we go.
Okay. Gratuitous. With a rack like Carmen Miranda? That was impossible. And that meant that I was catapult fodder. Do I look like Carmen Miranda? My penis and my brazenness, they don't. But the way my body is formed in strange angles, that does. I also have a tendency to look like dead celebrities. I look for shrunken heads and then I put them in a vise, but sometimes I eat them with rice and beans. And just in case any of my pets are watching, I say an enormous ablution. The ablution that I say is one of inestimable desperation and inspired profundity. It's the kind of ablution that, the first time you say it, you feel like you've been saying it for hours. I see pies in front of me, on the table, in the kitchen, and on my grave. And each one has a feather in it, and each one has been set on its side. A cardboard rock is no match for a cardboard cowboy in a suit of armor, but I've got it made. I've got an avenging force of ghosts on my side. Yes, great! My voice sounded like a cartoon character on nitrous oxide. I've got muscle. I've got bravado. I'm Mike Conway, no relation to Tim, and I announced this in a sports announcer's voice. Mike? My dad asked as if he had just passed out. He came into the kitchen with Carly. What are you doing here? Why aren't you in Pacoima? Before I could think of a single word in reply, Dad turned on the light. I felt like I was suffocating. Everything turned white. I didn't know what, where, or why, but I did know how, and I did know how to open a door. So welcome to the Terror Dome. Come on down. Sir Thomas didn't know what was going on, but everything indicated that something was, and that there was a lot to gain, and even more to gainfully employ. Michael Conway, don't you answer when a mannequin like your father asks you something? Just a minute, Dad. I'm not ready to talk. He's the Han Solo of Mujahideen, Carly intervened. She was what the expression "you gotta hate her" was all about. She was cruel and brazen. I've talked until all of the mercury's rushed to my face, Dad. Mike has just as much mercury, but it probably all rushes to his butt and then disbands there. Kind of like an arms dealer. Shut up, Carly. Who fucking asked you? I said and turned to my father. It was Sir Thomas, Dad. I was intent on explaining this. He came in here and said that he was going to throw a party. I told him to sod off. That's when he plastered me to the floor and threw spaghetti sauce everywhere. I was talking a mile a minute, but no one was listening. No one was sure what the hockey puck was going on, let alone understand what the hockey berg I was saying. And then Dad didn't want to hear any of this. He didn't even like listening to his own voice, or to the voices in his head. A dead cowboy did all of this? Dad could get as aggressive as any man, especially when he was simultaneously talking and sucking air. Which side of the bed do you think I threw up on this morning? I nodded furiously, but the poor Finn couldn't hear me. This is just great, Dad said. No, Dad, really, I didn't do it. Are you telling me that this pack of lies is true? I knew that Dad couldn't see Sir Thomas. Nobody could. Dad was getting agitated, so I stayed near the door. Then he started jumping up and down in the air. I'm giving you notice. I'm giving you all notice. Now, children, what did I just say? My pulse stopped beating and my skin started crawling. Dad, listen. The cowboy armor isn't the only thing around here that smells like horse shit. This guy is dangerous. He might be a cowboy, but he has a coterie of a million tree frogs. He intends to... It was just like talking to one of your parents. Dad didn't listen to one word. He did what he did best. Interrupted. This is great. This is just great. A ghostly cowboy in armor has taken over the kitchen. And the bathroom, I added, but he didn't hear me. Carly, Mike, Dad turned on us. Everyone looks at me as the mad genius of Fear Street, not as some harebrained with a wallet, not as... Dad's segues could last for days, and when he did get to the point, it usually reeked of some dead animal. Do you think this cowboy has come from the depths of hell, Mike, he asked me. A cannibal that eats Alpo? Yes, a cannibal, yes, blah, blah, blah. I always regretted talking to Dad as soon as I started, and when he's not eating Alpo, he's eating condensed milk. I could never get a leg up on my father. It wasn't permitted, but this was an emergency. I figured he'd listen to me for 2 seconds, then he'd go eat some mango and bat grease. Dad, the ghostly cowboy is here, right now. He's bad, he's a cat, and he wants to kick us in our nads. When he's not shining his armor, he's eating condensed milk. Doesn't that creep you out? Dad knew I was right, even though technically his segue hadn't ended. Whenever I asked him what he thought, he tapped his fingers on his head and said that he was seeing green spots. This was because he had Brillo pads for eyes, and he was always frothing at the mouth. First of all, I thought I told you to get your tentacles over to the museum. I have some clients over there who, unlike you, I'm obliged to talk to. But, Dad, Dad simultaneously hit me upside the head with one hand and threatened Carly with the other. Couldn't hit both of us at the same time because of our union contract. I'm not done with my segue, he said. Now get your asses over to the museum. I'm sure I can thank your dead Uncle Basil for all this talk about ghosts and cowboys. Dad wasn't the one who wanted an escalator in the kitchen. It had been our dear old Uncle Basil. Okay, Dad said, I think that our emotions have been played with enough for one night. Or would you like me to call your little ghost friend on the telephone? I knew he was right, but he was still a horse's ass. And I knew that whining was the only way I'd ever get justice from this poor excuse for a father. I fired up light in the kitchen. Dad hadn't turned it into a museum yet. He and Carly were walking in circles, Dad talking a mile a minute. It's media world, and it's what we need. We need to talk to invisible ion charges on TV tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. And we need diaries, and we need to prepare for massive grain alcohol consumption. More grain alcohol, more cowboys and culottes, and more Tybo outfits. This summer, the tourists won't be able to tell their colas from their kilometers, from the corny bullcrap right in front of their eyes. I could hear Dad even though he was talking out of his ass, and I could hear Carly even though I tried not to, and then I heard the door open, and the sound of the end of the world trickling in. There's a time to be alone, there's a time to be piss drinking, walking, talking, inferiority complex. And now was those times. I had to piss and I was really thirsty, but I didn't have a cup to piss in or to drink from. And then I remembered that I was incontinent, and that I wouldn't be able to sing my way out of this one, and that I was a bit too preoccupied with singing anyway. And then I couldn't know the cost when I don't know the caramel. Don't own the camel. Sorry. And I don't even know an escalator when I hear one coming. Although I do know pressed wood from air freshener, at least when I listen closely. And I always listen closely. It's just that I'm not always standing when I do. The Velcro on my shoes was telling me I'd be a pussy to punt. I'd recognize the rudeness in that. I had a special rudeness recognizing chip clipped into my carcass when I was circumcised.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You want me to do it again?
No, I don't.
There were a lot of fuck-ups.
That was wonderful.
All right.